Hello, and welcome to Mr. Doom, and welcome to another episode of Scary Stories. My name is Olivia, and I live alone in a small apartment on the outskirts of Portland. It's not the best neighborhood, but it's quiet enough. Mostly families, a few older couples, and some younger people like me who prefer a little solitude. I moved in about a year ago, drawn by the affordable rent and the promise of independence. At first, everything was fine. The building itself is old but sturdy, with creaky floors and thin walls that sometimes let in my neighbor's late-night TV habits. The landlord, Mr. Halverson, is an older man who mostly keeps to himself. He has a reputation for being forgetful, but he's harmless. The other tenants are polite, if distant. No one really knows each other beyond the occasional nod in the hallway. Last Monday, I got home from work and checked my mailbox like always. Bills, grocery store flyers, and an unmarked brown envelope. I assumed it was junk mail until I got inside and opened it. Inside was a flash drive. No note, no return address, just a small, cheap-looking USB stick. I don't know why, but my stomach twisted when I held it. Maybe it was the lack of explanation, or maybe it was just the strangeness of receiving something like that out of nowhere. But I told myself I was being paranoid. It was probably a scam or some weird promotional thing. Still, curiosity got the best of me. I plugged the drive into my laptop, half expecting some kind of spam or virus. Instead, there was a single folder labeled Watch Me. Inside were several video files, each with a timestamp. The most recent one was dated just a few nights ago. I clicked on the first video, and immediately my blood ran cold. The footage was of my apartment. The camera angle was low, near the floor, and pointed toward my living room. At first, I thought it was a mistake, that maybe it was just an old video of me filming something by accident. But then I saw myself walk into the frame. I was wearing pajamas, holding a bowl of cereal. The video had no sound, just the grainy, unsettling footage of me going about my evening routine. I watched myself sit on the couch, scroll through my phone, completely unaware that I was being recorded. I clicked on another file. This one showed my bedroom. The camera was positioned somewhere high, giving a full view of my bed. In the footage, I was asleep, the soft glow of my bedside lamp casting long shadows on the walls. I watched myself shift under the blankets, roll over, completely vulnerable. My hands started shaking. I could feel my pulse in my ears. Someone had been in my apartment. Someone had set up cameras. Someone had been watching me. I ripped the flash drive out of my laptop and ran to my bedroom, heart pounding. I started searching, tearing through my things, checking every inch of my apartment for anything unusual. It didn't take long to find the first camera. It was inside the air vent above my bed, small and barely noticeable. I found another in the living room, hidden between the books on my shelf. There was one in the kitchen, tucked behind the cereal boxes in the cabinet. I felt sick. I called the police, but I knew they wouldn't be able to do much without proof of who had done it. Still, an officer came by, took my statement, and told me to stay somewhere else if I could. But where would I go? This was my home. I spent that night at a friend's place, too afraid to be alone. Sleep didn't come easy. I kept wondering, who did this? How long had they been watching me? Then I remembered something. A few weeks ago, my upstairs neighbor, Mr. Larkin, had offered to help when I was struggling with my groceries. I'd thanked him, and he'd lingered a little too long, asking if I lived alone. I told him I had a roommate, an obvious lie, but he just smiled and said, "Good. A woman shouldn't live alone in a place like this." The memory made my skin crawl. The next day, I showed the footage to my landlord. He looked uncomfortable, rubbing the back of his neck as he muttered something about security being not his problem. When I mentioned Mr. Larkin, his face darkened. "He's been here a long time," Halverson said. "Keeps to himself. But, yeah, I'll admit, he gives me the creeps." That was enough for me. I took the footage to the police, along with the cameras I'd found. It took them a couple of days, but eventually they searched Larkin's apartment. What they found made my stomach drop. He had a whole setup. Monitors, more footage, even a notebook full of disturbing notes about me. How I looked when I slept. What time I left for work. What I ordered for dinner. When they arrested him, he went ballistic, screaming about how I'd ruined everything. I moved out that same week. I couldn't stay there, not after knowing what had been happening right under my nose. I still don't know why he sent me the flash drive. Maybe he wanted to scare me. Maybe he thought I'd never notice the cameras. Or maybe he wanted me to know he was watching, just to see how I'd react. I'll never have those answers, and honestly, I don't want them. But one thing is certain. I'll never feel truly safe in my own home again. My name is Claire, and last year, I moved into an old apartment building on the outskirts of the city. It wasn't in the best shape, but the rent was cheap, and the neighborhood was quiet. Exactly what I needed. Most of the residents were older, people who had lived there for decades. The kind of place where the walls were thin, the plumbing groaned, and you could hear your neighbors' every move. My unit was at the end of the hallway on the third floor, and across from me was a supposedly vacant apartment. The landlord had mentioned it during my lease signing, said it had been empty for a while, and they were waiting on renovations before renting it out again. The door was covered in dust, and the peephole was blocked, as if someone had stuffed paper into it. I never saw anyone go in or out, and for the first few weeks, I didn't think much of it. Then, about a month after I moved in, I started waking up at exactly 3 a.m. to the sound of movement coming from inside that apartment. At first, I chalked it up to the pipes or the wind, but the sounds were too deliberate. Muffled voices, the scrape of furniture being dragged, the occasional thud against the floor. It was faint, like someone was trying not to be heard, but in the dead silence of the night, it was impossible to ignore. I tried telling myself it was my imagination, that maybe the noises were coming from the apartment next to it. But every single night, at the exact same time, the sounds returned. Sometimes, it sounded like someone pacing. Other times, like something heavy was being pushed across the floor. Once, I even heard what sounded like whispering, low and urgent, right behind the door. Curiosity got the best of me. One night, when the sound started again, I crept out of bed and pressed my ear against the door. My heart pounded in my chest as I listened. At first, just silence. Then, the distinct sound of a chair scraping against the floor, followed by what I can only describe as a hushed argument. Two voices, one male and one female, murmuring too low for me to understand. My breath caught in my throat. I knocked. The moment my knuckles hit the wood, the sound stopped. Completely. No fading footsteps, no shuffling. Just instant, suffocating silence. I stood there for what felt like forever. Waiting, expecting someone to answer or for the noises to start again. But nothing happened. The next day, I went straight to my landlord. I felt ridiculous, but I needed an explanation. Maybe he had forgotten that someone moved in. Maybe squatters had taken over. When I mentioned the noises, his face went pale. He swallowed hard, then shook his head. "No one lives there," he said. "No one's rented that unit for over a year." I frowned. "Are you sure? Maybe someone has a key and..." "No one has a key," he interrupted. "I'm the only one with access. That apartment's been locked up since the last tenant left." I stared at him, my stomach twisting. "Then, what have I been hearing?" He didn't answer. Just looked away, as if he suddenly regretted saying anything at all. That night, I locked my door, wedged a chair under the handle, and lay awake, staring at the ceiling. 3 a.m. came, and as if on cue, the noises started again. The low murmur of voices, the dragging of something across the floor. My pulse thundered in my ears, but I stayed in bed, blankets pulled up to my chin, trying to convince myself it was just the pipes, just my imagination. But then my phone buzzed. I turned my head slowly, my breath hitching in my throat. The screen glowed in the darkness, a single text from an unknown number. "Stop listening." I left the apartment the next morning, packed a bag, booked a hotel, and never spent another night there. The landlord didn't ask questions when I broke my lease a month later. I never went back, never checked if anyone moved in after me. I don't want to know. I moved into my neighborhood about 5 years ago. It's a quiet, unassuming street, a mix of young families and retirees, the kind of place where people wave at each other, but mostly keep to themselves. The houses are old but well-maintained, and there's a sense of routine to everything. The same people walk their dogs at the same time every evening. The same porch lights flick on as the sun sets. Nothing unexpected ever really happens here, except for my neighbor, Mr. Holloway. At first glance, he seemed like any other older man in the neighborhood, friendly but slightly odd. He lived alone in the house next to mine, and despite his polite demeanor, something about him always seemed off. He had this habit of borrowing things without asking. It wasn't anything major, just small, everyday objects. My garden shears would disappear from my yard, only to show up days later, cleaned and sharpened, on my back porch. My garbage can would vanish on trash day and reappear before I even noticed it was gone. The strangest moment was when I caught him taking my welcome mat. I was pulling into my driveway when I saw him walking back to his house, my mat folded under his arm. I got out of my car, confused. "Mr. Holloway?" He turned with a smile, completely unfazed. "That's mine," I said, pointing to the mat. "Oh, of course, just borrowing it for a bit." He chuckled and waved me off. "You'll understand soon." I laughed nervously, not really sure what to make of his words, but I didn't push it. The next day, my mat was back in place like nothing had happened. I chalked it up to Mr. Holloway, just being one of those quirky, old-school types who didn't think much about personal property. It wasn't like he was hurting anyone, right? Then, a week later, everything changed. I woke up that morning feeling a little off. There was an unusual stillness in the air, the kind that makes your stomach twist before you even realize why. I walked downstairs, rubbing the sleep from my eyes, and stopped cold at the sight of my living room. Everything Mr. Holloway had ever borrowed from me, every little thing, was arranged in perfect order, right in the center of the room. My garden tools, my trash can, my welcome mat. Even things I hadn't realized were missing, like a small rake and a pair of gloves I thought I had misplaced. They were all sitting there, neatly placed as if someone had taken their time setting them up just right. The problem? My front door was locked. My windows were locked. I had double-checked them before going to bed, as I always did. There was no sign of forced entry. Nothing was missing. Nothing was damaged. Just my things, returned in the most unsettling way possible. I backed out of the room, my heartbeat thudding in my ears. It wasn't just that someone had been inside my house. It was that they had taken their time, had been careful. This wasn't a robbery. This was a message. I ran next door, my hands shaking as I pounded on Mr. Holloway's door. No answer. His car was gone. I knocked again, harder this time. Finally, the neighbor from across the street, an older woman named Mrs. Carmichael, came outside and called over to me. "He left last night," she said, frowning. "Packed up his car and drove off. Didn't say where he was going." I stood there, dumbfounded. Mr. Holloway had lived here for over 20 years. As far as I knew, he had no family, no close friends. And now, suddenly, he was gone. Right after breaking into my house just to return my things. I called the police, but there wasn't much they could do. There was no sign of a break-in. Nothing technically stolen. Just an old man who had left town without a trace. For weeks, I couldn't shake the feeling that I had missed something, some unspoken message hidden in the way my belongings had been arranged. Had he been watching me? Testing me? Warning me? The uncertainty was worse than any explanation I could come up with. It's been a year now, and no one has heard from Mr. Holloway since. His house sold within months to a young couple who had no idea about the man who lived there before them. I never told them. I'm not sure what I would even say. I still double-check my locks every night. I still glance out my window, half expecting to see him standing there, watching. And sometimes, when I wake up in the middle of the night, I swear I can feel the weight of unseen eyes lingering just beyond the edge of the dark, waiting. I never thought much about my neighborhood until the night everything changed. I moved here about 5 years ago, one of those quiet suburban areas where everyone keeps to themselves. It's the kind of place where people mow their lawns at the same time every Saturday, where the biggest excitement is the occasional garage sale. Safe, predictable, or so I thought. The houses are set up in neat rows, each with a small front yard and large windows facing the street. Mine is directly across from an older man's house. I'd see him now and then, watering his plants or bringing in the mail. We never spoke much beyond the usual nod of acknowledgement. Just another quiet resident, living his life. At night, I developed a habit of winding down by my living room window, sipping tea and scrolling through my phone. That's when I noticed something odd. Across the street, through the second-story window of my neighbor's house, someone would be standing there, always in the same spot, always looking straight into my house. At first, I assumed it was the old man. Maybe he had trouble sleeping. Maybe he just liked standing there. It was a little unsettling, sure, but I brushed it off. I mean, he wasn't doing anything wrong, just standing. But as the weeks passed, it became a pattern. Every single night, I'd see the figure in the window, never moving. Never turning on a light, just standing there, watching. I tried to ignore it. I stopped opening my blinds at night, but the feeling of being watched never left. I'd wake up at odd hours and find myself compelled to peek through the curtains. And sure enough, the figure would be there, perfectly still, framed in the darkness of the window. One night, curiosity got the better of me. I waved. The figure didn't react. I felt ridiculous, waving at some possibly harmless insomniac, but something deep in my gut told me this wasn't normal. Then, the worst night of all, I had fallen asleep on the couch and woke up around 2 a.m. to a strange noise. A soft tapping sound. My heart pounded as I sat up, ears straining. It was coming from my window. For a long moment, I couldn't move. I didn't want to move. My living room lights were off, but the dim glow from a street lamp outside cast just enough illumination for me to see a shadowed outline pressed against the glass. I must have made some kind of noise because the tapping stopped abruptly. My heart slammed against my ribs. I reached for my phone with trembling fingers and called 911. The operator kept me calm, told me to stay put, and that officers were on the way. I don't know how long I sat there, frozen, gripping the phone like a lifeline. But eventually, red and blue lights painted the street, and the figure outside was gone. The police checked the perimeter. No signs of forced entry, no footprints in the yard, nothing. They asked me if I had seen the person's face, but I hadn't. Just a shadow, a shape. It was as if whoever, or whatever, had been there, didn't want to be seen. The next day, I ran into my neighbor at the grocery store. He was an older man, gray-haired, friendly enough, but we'd never really talked before. Still shaken from the night before, I hesitated but eventually brought it up casually. "Hey, do you have a guest staying with you?" I asked, forcing a light tone. "I noticed someone in your upstairs window a few times." His brows furrowed. "Upstairs window?" "Yeah, the one facing my house." He gave a short, amused chuckle. "I don't go upstairs much anymore. Bad knees." I stared at him. "Oh, so you live alone?" "Have for about 10 years now," he said, grabbing a carton of eggs from the shelf. "Why?" My mouth went dry. I forced a laugh, waved it off. "No reason. Thought I saw something." I went home and locked every door. That night I didn't look out my window. I didn't want to know if someone was still standing there. Because if my neighbor had been living alone for 10 years, then who the hell had been watching me every night? I reported it to the police again, but nothing ever came of it. My neighbor even let them search his house. They found no signs of anyone else ever being there. No extra furniture, no additional belongings. just him, alone. Eventually, I moved out. I never got an answer. But sometimes, late at night, I still get the urge to check my window. And I wonder, where did that person go?